Tonight, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. If you have never heard this message, then it's a repeat. If you have heard this message, it's a repeat. And so, the Bible says that it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of commanding his disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Notice the Bible says, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Notice the Bible said that Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which he do here. And see, now from this I gather that this is not the first time that it's been brought up. How many never gets it the first time anyway? You know, if I'd have been the Lord, I wouldn't have answered it quite like this. In my independent zeal, I would have said, how many times is it going to take you to get this? But not Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which he do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. And tell John again, the lame walk. And tell John again, the lepers are cleansed. He said, go tell John that the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and here it is, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse number 6, the Bible says, then blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, I find it difficult to ever get offended in the Lord. The Bible says here, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went he out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? He said, but what went ye out for to see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And he said, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says, is greater than you got to agree with me tonight that when we think about John, that he was quite the character. I'm thinking that probably John wouldn't fit in a lot of the places that we go to today. several things that I want you to notice that I find here in these verses that I've read to you. I'll mention these real briefly, and then I'll deal with the thought that I want to pull out of this passage. But in verse number 1, the first thing that I find, I find where the Lord is advancing. It came to pass that He had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples. He departed, here it is, to teach and to preach. He was a teacher and preacher. He was commencing. He didn't come to be stagnant. He came on a mission. And He carried out that mission even to the cross. So we find that He is now advancing. The second thing that I find of interest to me, I find in the next few verses, I find a word about John's awareness. In that prison cell, that John was in, he had heard about the works of Christ. And instead of these affecting John in a positive way, it affected John in a negative way. This brought about an accusation. Now, the accusation is not in what John is saying, but in what he's not saying. In the accusation, John made this statement. He said, "Lord, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another?" But what he's not saying tonight is simply this. He said, "Lord, I don't know if you're really him or not." You ever had your doubts? You know, I'm fearful that we have got to the place in our life that we are basing too much in a little picture. And can I say this, that if you see him, that you're going to have to look at him in the big picture. Because sometimes, if you've got to have it a certain way to feel like that it's him, there's going to be a lot of time. You're going to go to the house scratching your head and say, "Man, you know, I don't know if that was really him or not. It didn't fit our formula. That's not how you do it. I don't know if you're him or not." Notice the answer, verses 4 through 6. All Jesus said was simply this, said, "Go tell John everything you're seeing and hearing." That ought to be enough for anybody. If you don't believe tonight what you're hearing and seeing, you ain't going to get it anyway. The last thing that I want you to notice, this analysis. After Jesus analyzed it, this is what he said. He said, "I'm telling you, I have no problem with John." You would have thought that he would have. He had no problem with John. This is what Jesus said. He said, "I tell you what, there's never been one born of a woman any greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." I never read this without thinking about Vance Havner. He said this, the day that Jesus said the best thing about John, John said the worst thing about Jesus. Let me challenge you tonight. Let's don't be too hard on John. Amen? Considering the place that John was in, I'll be honest tonight, Brother Joe, I know some that have said a lot worse things about the Lord in a lot less situations. And while, Brother Edward, any of these would do for some all-night preaching. I'm really interested tonight in the statement, the question that John asked, and that is this. He said, "Lord, are you the one that should come, or do we look for another?" And I want to preach tonight for just a little bit on this thought of the danger of looking for another. The danger tonight of looking for another. You say, "My soul, Brother David, who in the world are you talking to?" This is the cream of the crop. If we don't make it, there ain't nobody going to make it. But you know what I'm finding every year that comes? I'm finding more and more that my friends are looking for another and they're slipping off the scene. As I think about this thought, the danger of looking for another, first thing tonight that I want you to think with me about, I want you to think about this. Let's look at the strangeness of it. You know, I don't know about you, but out of all of the people, John was the last person that you would have thought was capable of making such a statement. You ever been shocked by the actions of another? Or especially a spiritual giant in your life, a spiritual hero. Have they ever said something that just blew your mind? You know, I think about Abraham's comment about Sarah. He was a man of faith, and then he asked Sarah, he said, when we get to Egypt, do not tell them you are my wife. Tell them you are my sister. I don't know a lot of wives that would put up with that one. Can I have, I don't want a big witness. Let's wait for Thursday night for the big witness, but a little one would really help me about right now. I know most of them sit in this building and said, I tell you what, you ain't going to have to worry about Pharaoh. I'm the one you're going to have to worry about when you go to sleep tonight. Amen. Can I have a witness? I think about Elijah's comment to Elisha. You know, sometimes even the Elijahs in our life don't know what's best. Elisha was after a double portion of what Elijah had. And Elijah said, when you see me depart, and then you've asked a hard thing, but so be granted unto thee. And then on the day that Elijah's about to be taken out, he tells Elisha, you stay put while I cross over. What would have happened if Elisha would have stayed put? Sometimes even our spiritual heroes don't know what's best for our life. The entire episode of David and Bathsheba, try to read my Bible through once a year. And I never get to that episode that I'm hoping that somebody got to David and talked him out of it. Would you have ever thought somebody's capable of David writing a psalm like he did? Could have done what David? Amen? Are you with me tonight? Talking about the strangeness of this. I could have understood this. I could have understood this, but John, if this would have been a dialogue of Judas, I'd have had no problem believing that Judas could have said this. I'd have had no problem believing tonight that my friend Peter was always saying something stupid. He was always acting, seems like, on the arm of the flesh. Seems like Peter always was trying to prove something. I could have believed it if it had been Peter. But not John. It was John that leaped in his mother's belly when he heard the word that, hey, the Lord's coming. Brother Buddy, it was John that the Bible tells us that was sent from God. It was John in which John's gospel stated that he was sent to bear witness of the light. Isn't that amazing? He's sent to bear witness of the light, but at this season in his life, he can't see no light. But John, the Baptist that stated that there cometh one mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose, that said this, that Jesus must increase, and I must decrease. In fact, this is exactly what's happening in the life of John right now. He is decreasing, and Jesus is increasing. You know, I've discovered this in life. If you really don't mean something, you might not ought to say it. I've discovered this in my early untempered youth. I said a lot of things through the spirit of zeal
I'd get in a camp meeting, I'd hear them old preachers preach and say stuff, and I'd get up and say stuff, and I'd go, whoa, man, what in the world am I talking about? I wish I could take some of it back. This is exactly what he said, what's happening. I'm telling you, he is decreasing. That John, my friend, is getting pushed further and further back. And Christ now has taken the forefront. And you know, it just seems to me that John's not quite ready for this.
You know, we can prone to wonder why in the world you'd end up in a state like this, can't you? You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I've got enough faith to move mountains. I've got all the faith you need. Amen. I think about Brother Norman. I said to myself, if I had his faith, what I could do for Jesus. Then you listen, Brother Mike, talk about how little he, you know, we all messed up. Whether you realize or not, you might as well just admit it. We all messed up. Yeah. But Stillman said, we all got issues. The strangeness of it. Second thing tonight that I want you to notice, I want you to notice the steps that could lead up to this. You know, no one really knows why John was so doubtful. You know, it's easy to be judgmental of others, but may I say tonight, until you have walked in their shoes, we ought to hold our tongue and be quiet. There's nothing that bothers me any more than to have somebody that don't know nothing about what's going on try to tell you why you're going through what you're going through. You would not believe the things that I've heard said to me because I got a daughter in a wheelchair. Some of them I'm grateful, a lot of them I'm saying, I wish you'd just hush. You have no clue. I remember one time, would you let me just make a little, just a small one. I remember one time I was in a grocery store. This is when I was passing over to Parkville, Georgia. And I go to the grocery store, and this woman just right there in my face all of a sudden, she said, you the preacher over at Victory, aren't you? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She said, that was your daughter that was in a wheelchair, wasn't it? And I said, yes, ma'am, it was. She said, I just want you to know that I rebuke the devil in Jesus' name, and I want you to know everything's going to be okay. I said, I remember that. I said, that was when all of the babies started crying, and I'm telling you, that place went crazy. Don't look at me like that, amen. What I'm trying my best to tell you tonight is that we really don't know why God did what he did. My New Year's resolution this year is to quit thinking what I think folks are thinking when I don't know what they are thinking. Have you ever heard preachers preach about things in the Bible as if they really knew? We don't really know, but let me give you some suggestions tonight. Could it be, number one, that John, at this season of his life, had found a place of disappointment? Life ever been disappointing to you? Has life ever turned out the way that you didn't think it would? Oh. Well, Leon, when God called me to preach, I never forget that next morning sitting in that little Volkswagen Red there. And I'm thinking about how different and the way things are going to be now that I'm a preacher. I got to tell you, it wasn't quite like I had envisioned.
At that time, we were one of the only independent Baptist churches in like a 30-mile radius, 40-mile radius. In fact, in Dawson County, missionaries wouldn't even call us. That's how bad it was because they couldn't get in. They just marked Dawsonville out. That was something you pastor liked. Anyway, enough about that. And so I went with this in mind, that I was going to have the biggest independent Baptist church, powerful church. Are you with me? I had all these things.
I said that I never was going to pastor an already established church that already had everything in order. So I went there and finished.
Yeah.
I had these kids. How they were going to be. And everybody was going to know about it. Took the church, the baby voted me in, three families walked out. I left it for the church. I went to all these seminars. I went to a leadership thing with Brother John, and I said he was excited. He said, "I love this." I'm sitting in the back of the van, and I said, I'm as depressed as I've ever been in my life. I'm thinking, I said, if you'll slow down at the bridge, I'm going to jump out of the van. And it seems like that with all of about 30 years not that I was there and in the ministry that I did it, hey, it seems like when I was going to have a lot of scope.
Right.
I can't write a book on what to do, but I can write a book on what not to do. And it would be a series. Talking about disappointments. I've got this thing figured out by this point in my life. I'm supposed to be here. Hey, at that point, I'm supposed to be doing that. Hey, at this place, I'm supposed to be doing this. And I have none of that to show. Disappointments.
Yes, sir.
Could it be tonight? Here's this terrible word again. And if you're going to come up to me after the service is over and tell me you don't believe in this, don't. Discourage me. Talk to John. Could it be that he was depressed? I hate depression. Amen. It has hindered me. It has cheated me out of years. This year I had, I said, that boy back there. Now wrestling. Could it be that John was disillusioned? Could it be that he was distressed? Could it be that my friend is in darkness? My friend, he couldn't see any light. You say, Brother David, why in the world? Why in the world? Why in the world? Could he be like this? This is John. Are you listening to me tonight? This is not just some off of the trail Bible character. I'm telling you, this is the forerunner. I'm telling you, this is John. Why? I got to hear three quick things. Number one, I believe it was because that he was attacked. You ever been attacked? Hey, up to this point in life, everything was in John's favor. Anybody would have wanted John in their camp meeting.
Anybody would have wanted to have driven John's chariot. Anybody would have wanted to have carried John's Bible up to this point.
It was in John's favor. John could declare, hey, I'm the forerunner. John could have boasted, hey, I'm cousin to Jesus. Look at all of these people that are coming to hear me. Hey, I love the ministry. I was born for this. But suddenly the change of life, suddenly the tide changes. And now just one message. Can I say this? Just one, if you please, minister. Hey, this is the aspect of the ministry that schools fail to train and equip for. They teach them on how to succeed. But I don't know of any school today that's teaching them how to suffer. He was attacked. Number two, John was alone. You ever feel lost? Brother Mike, I'm honest for the Lord in the ministry. I've had only God knows how many people around me. But yet feel so alone. I've sat in services like this, Brother John, feel like I'm the only one.
Daughter would get in the car. It would be a quiet ride. You feel alone?
Yeah. Mother Teresa said this. She said, the loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible poverty. It was while Elijah was alone and under a juniper tree that he wanted to die. And I've discovered this, that things don't look the same when you're alone as they do when you're surrounded by your comrades that see and believe as you do tonight. Bless the Lord. Then number three, let me say this. Could it possibly be tonight, Jonathan, that he was angry? He was mad. You say, I don't know if John had the capability of getting angry. Did I think John had the capability of getting angry? You show me somebody that's willing to stand flat-footed, look at King, eyeball to eyeball, and say, hey, man, it ain't right for you to have your brother's wife. I'm thinking if somebody had that much God about him and guts, I'm thinking John could have gotten mad. Edgar Thomas told me years ago, he said, what's wrong with our preachers today is that none of them can get mad no more. I found out, Brother John, if I could pastor mad all the time, I could have pastored. Wouldn't have been nobody but me and Rebecca and Donna, but I could have pastored. I said all that to say this. I can't leave you that tonight. Talked about the strangeness of it. Talked about the steps that led up to it. But let's look at the solution. The solution that I see is in the next verse, verse number 2. The Bible said, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Number one, let me say this. The first thing that my friend will help you in times like this is men that you can count on. Spurgeon said this, friendship is one of the sweetest joys of life.
Many might have failed beneath the bitterness of their trial had they not found a friend.
I got some of the dearest friends in my life right here, this building. No matter how lonely I get, I feel like nobody knows. Nobody cares. I'm in this thing all by myself. I close my eyes at night. I can see y'all's face. Are you with me? What amazes me about these disciples, John said, fellas, I'm telling you, here it is again. I know I shouldn't, and I know I've asked it over and over again, and I ought to have victory. I know that. But he said, I need you to do one more thing for me before I die. Would you just go ask him one more time? Are you really him? I got it. Terry said, I got to get this settled. Go ask him just one more time for me. Are you really him? Or do I need to look for? You know what amazed me about him too? He didn't turn on me.
I tell you something else that'll help you. Not only men tonight that you could count on, but a good message from the Lord.
Yeah. a good message from the Lord. I'm glad that they didn't ask. You listen to me. I'm glad that they didn't ask some of the men that I know. Jesus is healing. He's restored strength to the lame, my friend. He's given sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, my friend. He's got him a bunch of poor people and those that ain't got nothing. And my friend, he's preaching the gospel to them. And about that time, my friend, somebody that should know better asks him, Lord, are you really him or not? Or do I need to look for another? This is all Jesus said. He said, you go tell John. It's okay. I'm a-doing what you was doing. It's all right. Are you listening to me? It was a positive message. I'm telling you, everybody needs a little encouraging sometime. Brother John,
old-fashioned Holy Ghost, belly full, Spirit of God preacher, my friend, that'll deliver you a message tonight.
Amen. Amen. That'll help you. It was a productive message. It got him ready for dying. I don't find where it ever was brought up again. It was settled. Can I tell you tonight, when you need a message, God knows how to get you a message. Would you give me just a, give me about 7 more country minutes?
Thank you.
Oh, I tell you, my friend, what a help you. Hey, my friend, what a pick you up. Hey, in those times of your life, that you feel like quitting and how you feel like looking for another and how you feel like going another way. How you need you a message tonight from the Lord. Need you a message tonight from the Lord. And then I got to tell you this. The last thing you need tonight is that you need a mindset that's right. Now, let me read you this, and I'm through. Philippians chapter number 2. This is what the Bible says. The judge's mind being you. Was also in Christ Jesus. Please be tempted to have a mind of Christ. If I'm reading that right, please be trying to have a mind of Christ. That this mind being you was also in Christ Jesus. Here he is. He's up to men and woman of God, though not all of the people of God, but many except the Lord's name. And my people shall pray and say. This is what I see when I read that verse. To men and woman of God, he is God. And he is God.
Right.
So if he had chose to come in the form of God, in the awesomeness of God, in the power and the majesty, the greatness of God, in all of his glory, explained it, he wouldn't have took something that wasn't right for you.
That's right.
You want to be careful?
Thank you.
We're going to have a verse of song in a moment.